This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. And welcome to another pre-match chat. This chat is Wolves against the Blades of Sheffield United. And I'm delighted to be joined by the travelling Blade to discuss the Premier League match. I bet you can't wait for another Premier League game this weekend, mate.
Oh, I absolutely love Premier League games. They're amazing. They're absolute spectacles when we come to town, I tell you now. Absolutely punch drunk this season. As we were just saying, last weekend, I don't even know we were playing Brighton. I lost track. That's our fourth, our fourth 5-0 defeat of the season. We had Burnley away, Arsenal away, Villa at home. I'm sure you enjoyed that one. And most recently, Brighton at home. That's not including the 8-0 loss we had against Newcastle. And we've also, we've lost our last three home games and we've conceded three in all of our last three, conceded five in our last three home games. What with the 5-0 against Brighton, 5-0 against Villa, the 5-0 against Brighton again in the cup this time. So, yeah, honestly, just sack this season off now, end it, because there's no point us being here. Or just relegate us now and say, you're out. So everyone else carry on. Chef, you are gone. Because I'm absolutely punch drunk with this season now. I'm so numb. I was sat in the pub after the game the other day just going, just another game. I'm not even angry anymore. It's just, it's just what I've come to expect.
Yeah, it's kind of like the joy's gone out of the football. It's just, do you feel like there's a bit of an apathy within the fan base? I heard a stat today that you're on course to be the first team to concede 100 goals in a Premier League season as well if you carry on the same right way.
Yeah, think that's definitely on the cards, the way that we're carrying on. And when you look at some of the fixtures we've still got to come, we've still got to play Arsenal again, this time at home. We've got Man United away, who are now in a bit of form. We've still got Liverpool away, God help us. We've got Spurs again, last game of the season, when they deserve a chance that they're going to have quite a lot to play for. We've still got some... I think we've got Chelsea at home to do as well. Honestly, Newcastle away. Come on, come all, score them all. I think, thankfully, though, we've got Man City done and dusted with. Man City only scored 4 passes this season, and that was over 2 games, miraculously. Not quite sure how he achieved that. I think Kyle Walker just felt sorry for us and said, just go easy on them, lads. But yeah, honestly, we are on set. I think, obviously, thank God, somehow we managed to get over Derby's record lowest points. But I reckon even their squad would have a go against us this season. We are just absolutely shot to bits. You know, we've still got plenty of injuries, but the mental fatigue of the players. It's like a few fans have said, we can't really be annoyed at them because I think they're playing as well as they can do. It's just this is the level of player we've got. It's not that they're really underperforming. Our players just simply aren't good enough. They're playing probably the best they can. They're just simply not good enough for this level.
So what's gone wrong? Because obviously you got promoted
last season, obviously, you know, it's, the promotion's excited, you go up, and then you're coming into a new season. You know, you had quite a few players on loan. I think you're one of the players that had Tommy Doyle, wasn't he at Blades? Yeah, and he's been great for us when he's played. Is it you lost a lot of players that were loan players, a bit like what happened with Forest when they come up, but you just Forest bought loads of players, and then you guys have not really replaced the loan players that you know.
Yeah, well, the two loan players that we lost, we actually have one of them still now. So we had the two main ones were, like you said, obviously Tommy Doyle, who was brilliant for us. And then also we had James McAtee, who we managed to sign back on loan. But I think the main thing as well is that obviously we managed to, like absolute geniuses, sell Sander Berger, one of our biggest assets, one of the biggest reasons we got promoted. Sell him to Burnley, no less, a fellow promoter team, going to be a fellow relegation rival. We sold him to them. We're talking like, I don't know, a week before the season started. Very not long at all before the season started. And the main hammer blow was the departure of Illiman and Jai. Apparently, we had this all little lovely little video set up where he was going to like sign a new contract, and it was going to be like, he was going to be the new number 10, and it was going to be Billy Sharp saying, "Oh, carry on the legacy of the number 10. We were all messing around with all this video. And next minute, apparently at the last minute, he had a change of heart and went to his boyhood club, Marseille. And as soon as we lost Njai, we were never going to replace him. So we were sort of scrambling around for signings last minute, you know, trying to get Gus Hamer over here, you know, who I thought was going to be brilliant and has been very hit and miss lately, more miss than hit. Vinny Souza, who's done okay in the last couple of weeks in like a CDM role, but nowhere near a replacement for a draft. Was not meant to be an Njai. Cameron Archer, which is essentially a glorified loan from Villa, because I think when we go down, they have to buy him back from us. Some weird financial gymnastics going on there. So we came into the Prem with a weaker squad than what we had in the Championship. Losing Njai like that, we'd have had to have spent to bring in a player of his quality that would have had the same impact on our team as he did. I genuinely think we'd have had to have spent 70, 80 mil. We'd have had to have gone and bought the likes of Gibbs White back from Forest. We'd have had to have bring in, I mean, I'm not the best, obviously, in terms of like knowing players, but someone of Gibbs White's quality, we'd have had to have brought him in to have some level of replacement in terms of a player that would bring that much quality to our side. So we sort of just shot ourselves in the foot before we started selling our best players.
Do you blame the owners for that?
I genuinely think the way we prepared ourselves was a shambles. You know, people sort of blaming Heckey, and yeah, he carried some of the blame, but the way we prepared was awful. And you know, you've got like the owners, the Prince, and some of the fans at Defender Prince saying that, oh, we had no choice because they were in the last year of their contract, so we either sell Sander for like 15 million that summer. Bear in mind, we spent about 21, 22 mil on him, I think. So we sell him for 15 million and now 15 million now, or he goes for nothing next summer. And then same with Njai, it's either like 15 mil now or nothing next summer. Why have we boxed ourselves into this corner where they're in the last year of their contract and we're now, you know, but we just painted ourselves in. And then like, you've got the Prince saying, oh, well, we're going to have a massive overhaul in the summer. We've got the likes of John Egan, George Baldock, Ollie McBurney, among others that are also in the last year of their contract, going to run out in June. Haven't signed a contract yet. But apparently the Prince wants it that way because it acts as real motivation to the players, which is evident to see because we're rock bottom of the table. So on the one hand, he's saying, oh, we want them in the last year of their contract because it motivates them. And in the same breath, him and his fans are saying, oh, well, we couldn't do anything about Sander and Njai because they're in the last year of their contract and we needed to sell them now, else it was going to be nothing in the future. So I don't know which they want, but the way we prepared, and if Njai and Sander went, but it was early on, then we could have had time to plan and buy in and integrate players. But we were like signing players just... like I mentioned, like Gus Harmer, we didn't have him on the first game of the season. He played the second game of the season. Cameron Archer didn't play until I think early September. I think about the 2nd of September. So really last minute, just scrambling around for players here and there. And then the way we've acted in the January transfer is really window was really weird, because we're going down and we're sort of wasting money on short-term players. Like Brereton Diaz has come in and he's been quite a bright spark. He's got a couple of goals, given us something entertaining to watch. He's clearly added a bit of an injection of talent and pace in that. But he's on a half-season loan with no option to buy. So yeah, we're going to be in no position to buy him in the summer. If we'd bought him, I'd say brilliant, because probably not going to keep us up now, but next season, the Championship, he's going to be a brilliant signing. Same with Mason Holgate, another half-season loan. I mean, not that I'd want to buy him, but I don't know why we've sort of wasted. Apparently, we've got very little money. So why are we wasting the little money we have on trying to paper over the absolute chasms of a season that we have now? It just doesn't make sense. And I mean, you know, I think part of it is on the players. You've got both managers carry some of the blame for the results. But I think the overarching thing lies with me was it's just the owner and just the fact that we came into this has to be one of the worst, the worst prepared team to ever enter the Premier League. And you look at Luton, and fair play to them. They've attacked it brilliantly. Could still go down, but making a real fist of it, tried to act smart. Burnley spent money, hasn't worked. We've just done it. We did absolutely nothing. Sold our best players for peanuts. Brought in last minute, scrambling around desperate signings that are Championship quality. And that's where we're headed.
Interestingly enough, obviously I feel your pain, and like as football fans, I think we can all feel your pain. And you know, Wolves went through a very turbulent summer, and a lot of people had Wolves banged on for relegation. And we've had obviously a really, really good season. Yeah. The squad I always thought was a lot stronger than was being painted. But like, as bad as it is, yeah, you've played a few cards, haven't you? You've changed managers, you've changed formation, you've promoted some younger players, you've had the January transfer window, you're getting hammered. But as bad as things are, you've still got a glimmer of hope, because you're still only 7 points from safety. And to take a little twist on top of that, there is still potential points deductions coming Forest's way. We'll probably hear a bit more about what's happening with Everton's point deduction. They might get a reduction, but then they might get another points deduction. You know, if ever there's a season that you can still scramble your way out of it, as bad as things are, you still must have some hope, yeah?
I don't know. Maybe some Sheffield United fans do, but I'd like to know what they pour over their porridge in the morning. But, I mean, just to caveat some of those points, okay, so we're currently 7 points adrift, but Luton have still got a game in hand. I'm not sure who that's against. I'm not sure if it's Bournemouth. I think it is, looking at the table here, because I think the Tom Lockyer game. So that could quickly become 8 points, if not 10 points adrift. I think just how poor we're playing, though. I think as also with the points deductions, I think we've reached that part of the season now where I think if they were to take place, they're probably going to be at the start of next season.
They're going to be guaranteed to be imposed this year, this season. They have to be imposed this season.
I mean, do we know sort of to what? I mean, if Everton, I think if Everton
basically, are looking, the Everton thing, as far as I understand, they've appealed, and this week they'll get we'll find out more about their appeal. Some people saying that they'll get a slight reduction. They could get a 3, 4, 5 point reduction. So that'll pump them up. But then the other points deduction, I think, will come out in April. I think March, April, but then they've got that'll be appealed before the, so it's got to be decided before the end of the year. But the points deductions will carry this year, so it won't get carried over. It's got to be imposed this year. Well, so there is a little bit of a glimmer there for you, because you know both of those teams are down the bottom.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I don't know what point deductions we'll be looking at, but if they both got docked 10 points. So Forest would still be above us by 1 point.
Yeah.
Everton would be 3 points below us, and I'd give them two, maybe three games, and they'd be back above us. We are absolutely awful. I don't know how we got that result at Luton. It's just absolutely shot to bits. It's just players coming in. We've just got no gel in there. Like I said, like at the start of the season, it's been like a makeshift side all season with one thing or another. Even at the start of the season, we're sort of bringing in last-minute players here and there. Then everyone's getting injured. And then sort of now we're sort of having Holgate shoehorned into our defence. Now he's back out again. And just the way we're really still struggling with goals. I thought the one thing we had, I know we got the three against Luton, but that was just, I mean, I don't know how that happened, but that was a good result, don't get me wrong. And we had started picking up goals under Wilder, but it's just, the thing is, everyone above us, we might overtake Burnley, but Luton are far better than us. Everton, Forest, all of them far better than us. Like I said, even if they got docked 10 points now, Forest would still be above us, probably stay above us for the rest of the season. Everton would catch back up and overtake us. I'm convinced of it. There's no way we can overtake three teams by the end of this season. No, if we overtake Burnley, we're absolutely laughing. Just the way we're absolutely shot of confidence. I mean, it's like we've still got strikers injured. I don't know if they're going to be coming back for the game against you, the likes of Diaz and Archer. That might give us a bit of hope. But we just, like, you'd be watching us at games and we really lack for an out. If we haven't got Diaz, we haven't got an outlet whatsoever. We'll just sort of be having it, and we're sort of Chelsea away. Or other games, you've sort of got Archer trying. We get the ball and then our strikers are on the halfway line. And that's not us sort of sitting back by choice. That's us being hounded to our own goal line by the opposition and their dominance. So we really struggle for an outlet. The defence runs around like headless chickens. The midfield is always giving away the ball all the time, struggles to string passes together. We struggle to get possession. When we've got it, we struggle to do anything with it. I really can't see. I think if you sort of just go back and watch our games against the highlights against Villa, the highlights against Brighton. I mean, like Villa and Brighton, they're decent teams. We made them look like prime Man City and prime Liverpool back from like the 2019-20 season. Honestly, it's absolutely blitzing past us. And I think one thing as well, the main thing is for me just the mental fatigue of the players. It's just they're absolutely shot to bits.
Weighing heavy on the shoulders. So
yeah.
Go on.
I was saying when Wilder came in, we did get a bit of a boost, but that has just been, for me, completely eroded now. Completely eroded. What with the last couple of weeks and even like the Brighton Cup game, 5-2, Brighton at home in the league, 5-0, Villa, 5-0. Like even after the Luton, when you're thinking, oh, there was a bit of a buzz around the place, you're thinking, oh, a bit of unity, you know, with the players, galvanise their spirits and come on. And then you go against Brighton, you think, you know, they're all right, but, you know, we played them a few weeks back, let's learn our lessons. And just absolutely fall apart. And I just really can't see us picking up very many points. I think we'll pick up more points once we've been relegated, as we did last time.
Interesting. So, I mean, like, how do you think you're going to line up against Wolves at the weekend? Will you be there?
Unfortunately, I will be there. Yes, I will be there.
As you're a travelling blade, that you will be there.
The thing, I'm in, like, London the day before for like, my mate's birthday, so I think I'm going to have a bit of a sore head on that Sunday morning and the train up from Euston up to Wolves. I mean, first of all, we're going to have Holgate out, so you'll be looking at a back line. You're going to have Austin Trusty coming back in, who are previously of Birmingham City, who hasn't been great. You've got Anel, who always looks about. Anel Ahmedhodžić, who's made famous for saying, I don't think it was a red. He's always like 5 to 10 seconds behind the game. He's renowned for short shirt pulling, prone to give away fouls, maybe even a penalty. You've got Jack Robinson who'll be playing, who's probably been our best player of the season, and he's got about 2 to 3 own goals. Got one on Saturday or Sunday even. Who has been our best player because he's been off, and he looks like the only one that's actually been trying and really cares. You'll probably have Bogle at right wing back, who's pretty good in the Championship. Left wing back, I think, yeah, you're going to have Yasser Larrouche, who's just not ready for the Prem. And then up top, who are you going to have? I mean, you're probably going to have Will Asulu again, who hasn't scored in the league, I believe. He scored a couple in the FA Cup, but he's really quite a young. I'm not sure how old he is, but I think he's younger than 23. I'd say he's younger than 23. Bit of a bright prospect, but still naive and a bit of a rough diamond. Like I said, scored a cup in the cup, but not scored in the league yet. But does like to get a shot off, which is something nice to see for once. Hopefully we've got Diaz back. If we've got Diaz back, he does offer us something. He can run with the ball. He scored a couple of goals in the handful of games he's played. He's tall as well. He seems to have a good finish on him. Archer, he's good if we can afford him any space and time. If we can get him a bit of space and time, I think maybe with him being a Villa player, there might be a little bit of edge. I don't know. But the thing is with Archer, I think he is probably a good player, but I've always called him a luxury player. Like I said, if you've got a bit of space and time for him, I think he's probably brilliant, but we haven't. So we sort of need ugly strikers, sort of like a prime Billy Sharp or someone. McBurnie, I don't know if he's still going to be injured. He obviously didn't play on the Sunday. I think there's every chance he could still be injured. We'll probably have Rian Brewster, who's about as much use as, I don't know, a chocolate fire guard. He's absolutely pointless.
Will you play then?
I mean, we'll probably have your 3 centre-backs, 2 wing-backs. We might even have a 4-1 again. We had a 5-4-1 at the weekend.
Do you think you're going to sit back? Because the reason I ask is because, I mean, we're talking a little bit about this before the thing, Wolves are great when teams open up against us. We've exploited it. Brentford sat against us recently, and you know, we tend to trip up against teams that sit back and we don't get a lot of space. Now, someone on my channel also put, like, I don't see why Sheffield United would sit back because you need 3 points. But like, if you don't concede a goal and then you can get something from a set piece or something like that, you win the game and stuff like that. Yeah. And Wolves, you know, we've got aspirations potentially of even getting into Europe. I mean, what have you made of Wolves this year from what you've seen of us? Obviously, you probably saw us at Bramall Lane when we managed to give you, well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
Horrible. You got that penalty at the end and, you know, you won the game. And obviously, you're quite positive after that, I would imagine.
I mean, hopefully that's something we can carry into this game. The fact that obviously we have actually beaten you this season, so it's one of the holy trinity of teams that have gifted us a win. Obviously, it said it was left very, very late. I think it was even quite controversial, to be fair. But
it was another one of them.
Yeah, it was. It was one of them where there was contact, but VAR gives it, but in real time you probably don't give it. You know what I mean? It's there was contact, but you know, I think thinking at the time, if that was given against us, obviously I'd be annoyed and probably just going, probably more annoyed at VAR more than anything, just for highlight making things look worse than they are, and just going, oh well, there's contact, therefore it's a foul. But I didn't really care at the time. I was very happy to finally get a win.
Are you going to be happy for the 3 points?
I was very, very happy for the 3 points. But yeah, I think it was actually Archer that scored again that day. I think it was a really good goal by Archer, actually. The first one sort of absolutely hammered it in.
Well, remember, Wolves absolutely battered you in the first half, and then it all fell apart for us in the second half. We got back into the game, I think, and then you got that late penalty. I mean, looking ahead to the game at the weekend, I mean, what sort of score prediction are you expecting? I can feel you're a bit down about stuff, but you're going into the game with any hope at all?
Not really. If I'm being semi-optimistic, I'd say 2-0 to Wolves. I just think now, I think, like I said, I mean, in terms of how we'll line up, I don't know what strikers we're going to have available. What was amazing on the weekend is that when we went down to 10 men, there was a point where we actually subbed off our only striker. So we were playing with sort of a, I don't even know what formation we had, sort of like a 5-4 whilst we're 2-0 down to Brighton, which was amazing. I think if we've just got Asula and Brewster available, we'll go like 5-4-1. The midfield will be like McAtee, Souza, Harmer, previously of Coventry, and Andre Brooks, our young lad, who can be a bit of an outlet, but sometimes it's a bit too much ask for him to like sort of actually be the only creative outlet. McAtee can be brilliant, can sometimes go a bit missing. Same with Hamer. Souza can be hit and miss. He can still be a little bit slow. Can be a really good CDM and just be a bit gritty. But I think in terms of the hope, though, if we've got the likes of Brereton Diaz and Archer, I don't know whether McBurney's going to be fit. I'm not sure how bad his injury is. But if we've got a mixture of those three available, I would be hoping that we can get at least a goal, at best a point. I mean, sometimes we just pull a result out of nowhere, like the draw at Villa away. I don't know where that came from. The win at Luton, I don't know where that came from. So sometimes we can just get a bit of, you know, get a result out of somewhere. Could this be one of them? Obviously, Wolves mid-table. Obviously, I'd say, you know, maybe not have quite the attacking threats that Brighton had. Or you probably won't like me for saying this. Obviously, as Villa had, you know, obviously apologies for that, but obviously they're rocking.
No, I mean, Villa are having a fantastic season, you know, they're having a great season.
But still going to have far more than enough to see that. And I think, like, whether we will deliberately sit back, I don't think we'll deliberately sit back. We might be sat back, but that's probably just because you'll have all the ball around our box. So we've sort of got no choice than to be sat back. And we'll probably be camped in our own half, but I don't know if that'll be entirely by choice. Wilder will set them out and tell to them, let's go and try and attack this. Whether we're actually going to be good enough to try and follow that plan through, probably not. But I think we'll be sat back. But I hope like the Wolves fans are going, oh, they've just come here to be defensive. Because it's just because we're that crap. We'll be just penned back into our own half through no choice of our own. It's like being in prison. No one really chooses to be there, but you're just sort of stuck there because you've got nowhere else to go. But if we can sort of nick some, we're going to be relying on someone like Archer or Diaz being in the team. I don't know, maybe McAtee or Brooks can muster up some magic. Like Brooks, there's been times where he's pulled something out of nowhere this season, like when we beat Brentford at home. Could he do that? But I don't know, we just really struggle at every aspect of football. Like even if we do sit back, don't worry, because we can't defend. Just keep... do what Brighton did. Just keep passing it around, waiting to find your moment. Keep sending balls in. Invariably, we'll probably put one of them in our own net. so just, if all just bide their time, keep passing it around before long. Keep sending balls in. You said, obviously, we might get something from a set piece. We're pretty crap at them, so don't worry about that. I think the only thing we've got is if we sometimes might catch you on the break. I mean, I don't know if we will, but the only way I can see us scoring is if we have like a really like a good break when we get like the like sort of like we did early on against Palace. We scored like inside 23 seconds, just got the ball straight up to Diaz. Diaz ran down, cut in goal. And then like later on in the half, we were like Palace were all over us. And we've got the ball, McBurney held it up, plays McAtee through, bit of a deflection, goal. So if we can sort of do something like that, like we did at Palace, we still went on to lose 3-2, no less, but if we can sort of do that, but it's what, just trying
the only bit of hope I can give you that in stuff from Wolves, as I say, you know, we often have struggled. I mean, Huddersfield a few years back, they only won 3 games all season and they beat us twice, because that's the sort of thing that Wolves do. I think we still finished 7th that year, and we lost to the team rock bottom who only won 3 games all season, and two of them were against us. I remember going to the McAlpine Stadium in Huddersfield, coming out, and the Huddersfield fans were just saying, I wish we could play you every week. But if Wolves aspire to push on for, you know, for potentially even a European place, which would be incredible, it's got to be a game that Wolves have got to be winning. There'll be a lot of expectation from the Wolves fans that we should turn you over by a few, but these, like, as much as, you know, we shouldn't be going to Tottenham, or people, some fans think we wouldn't go to Tottenham and beat them. I thought we would, because we got the game, but we've got to be winning. You know, we've got to try and win this game against the Blades. No disrespect to you guys. We've got to try and got to try and win it. And I do feel your pain on where you are and how it's going, because we're all football fans and you follow your team home and away. And that's commitment, especially when things are going really, really bad. It's hard, and there's an expectation and an apathy. And just getting the vibe off you tonight, talking to you, I can feel like you're kind of depressed about the whole, you know, it's like, you think of the Blades and being sharp and, you know, shiny. It's like they're corroded and blunt at the moment, and they've got no
culture.
And that's kind of how you feel. How can people find you on YouTube and social, so if they wanted to watch some of your stuff? I'm sure your match vlog will be interesting after the game as well.
Yeah, there will be a post match vlog of the game from Wolves, so you can obviously, Wolves fans can go back and relive all the goals they'll, in, you know, undoubtedly score passes.
from your point of view.
Yeah, hopefully we can nick something, but I don't know. Can we, if we could pull some magic off? But yeah, Travelling Blade at YouTube. That's spelled, and then at Travelling Blade on Twitter, which annoyingly is spelt with one L rather than two, because someone else nicked the one with two L's. But at Travelling Blade on Twitter, Instagram, and then Travelling Blade on YouTube, can go back, go and watch all my vlogs. There might be on someone there where we've beaten Villa in the past. Go and watch them if you fancy. But yeah, go back and watch the one when we equalised against them, and then just don't watch the last few minutes when they scored. But there will be a post-match vlog.
Baggies next, beating the Baggies as well last year.
Yes. Yeah, we did. I think that was the game that actually confirmed we were getting promoted as well. So that was a really good midweek game. I think we beat them 2-0 at Bramall Lane, and that confirmed we were promoted. So that was a really good game of last season, and it feels worlds away from where we are now.
I know. Well, I do appreciate you coming on, mate. What I love about the fact that you're just so honest and open, which is, you're such a genuine chap, and you know, you support your team. You know, don't give up the hope though, because football's a funny old game. You've still got a lot of things can happen. I can't obviously hope that you get any result against us the weekend, but you know, you've still got 12 games to go, and after that, anything could happen. You're only 7 points behind, a couple of wins from somewhere, not starting the weekend, of course. You don't know. You just don't know, because there's still a lot of permutations to go in this season. What with the, you know, the other teams, what with yourself, what with the points deductions and stuff like that. It's a funny old game. So, you know, 7 points, it's a gap. You've only had 13, but like, look at Leicester a few years ago. They were like down and out and won 5 out of 6. You just never know in football. So I do wish you all the best. Obviously not for
thank
the weekend.
You know, likewise. But
thank you ever so much for coming on, mate. Much appreciate it. And guys, go check out the Travelling Blade. Make sure that you look out for his vlogs after the game as well. And make sure you give him some love in the comment section below, because he's a real top lad.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, pal.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.